You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
Yesterday, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, left us on a cliffhanger. David was angry with Nabal and wanted to kill him, but Nabal's beautiful and humble wife, Abigail, was about to intercede. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today as we examine the rest of this riveting story. So go ahead and open your Bible to 1 Samuel 25, verse 25, and while you find your place, here's a letter from David, who hops aboard the Bible bus from his home in Spokane Valley, Washington. I'm writing to give thanks. I've been on the Bible bus since 2005. Through your programs, I found help out of a deep hole of depression and a divorce. I'm still listening while running at 6:30 in the morning, first with my Walkman radio, and now with my phone app 11 years later. I find great comfort sitting and reading his old commentaries about our Lord and Savior. I also have used his information for Bible studies and shared with others many of Dr. McGee's stories and deep insights. I have always wanted to give something back. I'm making a donation online. I guess you could say I'm putting gas in the Bible bus tank. Well, great to have you with us, David. Thanks for your support that keeps the Bible bus traveling through your neighborhood as well as around the world. Now, if God is using this study in your life, I sure hope he is. Keep the Bible bus rolling in your community when you call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit us online at ttb.org. Let's pray. Lord, would you reveal to us the truth of your word and then help us to listen as your Spirit teaches us exactly what you intend us to discover. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come back to 1 Samuel 25. And I want to say to you that this was a very exciting moment that we had to leave off. And I didn't really intend for it to work out like that. I thought I would finish the 25th chapter, but I did stop at a most appropriate place because I trust it caused some of you to listen again. And I'll tell you what the background was here. And it was that this man, Nabal, and his name means fool, and he had insulted, actually, David's messengers that he had sent to Nabal to ask for food. And he just turned him down flat. And David had been protecting this man's possessions, his sheep and his cattle and everything. And so these young men that David had said, they brought back a report. And let me tell you, when they brought back the report and said that he'd turned them down flat and he'd insulted David, this aroused David's anger to white heat. And he's a red-headed fellow, by the way. And he has his young men gird on their swords. This hot-headed David with 400 followers armed to the teeth. And they start out in pursuit of Nabal, and he's seeking blood and vengeance. Now, in the meantime, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, heard of the insult. She knew what David would do because she'd heard of David's nobility and how God had dealt with him. And she wanted to send food to him, and she goes to meet him, and she sends servants ahead with bread and wine and sheep and raisins and figs to appease David. And it's a great picture that you have here where we left off. Around the hill yonder comes David riding at full tilt, flushed with anger, and I think he's talking to himself, I'll get that fella. He can't treat me that way. And he looks down the road, and he sees a woman coming on a little donkey, and he sees all of the food stuff, and his men are hungry, and he halts before this beautiful woman. And for the first time, David, God's anointed, is face to face with a noble woman who meant well by him. And she bows before David, just gets right down in the dust. She's humble, and she asks that David take his revenge upon her. Says, if you want revenge, just take it on me. I'm the wife of this man. And I think she's wise in that, because she's beautiful. And David's not about to harm a beautiful woman like this, especially when she made the appeal that she did. And now she appeals to the best that's in David, and she advises him. Listen to her, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 25. She apologizes for the fact her husband is a fool and a brute. Listen to this. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, that he's a man of the devil, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. David is just starting out, friends. Evil is in his life later on, but up to this point, David is as clean as a hound's tooth. He's lived for God, and he's attempting to please God. And this woman admires him for it. Now, notice verse 29. This is one of the most remarkable things said about David. Be wonderful if it could be said about us. He says, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. She's referring now to King Saul. She doesn't identify him by name. I read on. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Now, I think that's one of the most wonderful statements ever made concerning David, made by this woman. And she says, your soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And friends, that's just exactly the position of the believer today in Christ. You know, John, in his first epistle, calls him eternal life. He says, we have seen eternal life. And he means the Lord Jesus. He is eternal life. And when you and I trust him as Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of believers. And that body is Christ. Paul says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And you and I today are brought into the body of believers, the body of Christ, by faith in Christ. And we are said to be in Christ. And there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And so we are bound in the bundle of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman, Abigail, said that of David, that you're bound in the bundle of life with God. And now she continues in verse 29, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Just like you take a slingshot, and David knew all about that. And I think that she referred to that purposely, because it was well known now in Israel what David had done with the slingshot in slaying Goliath. And she says, just as you put that rock in that slingshot and you threw it out of the sling and it hit Goliath, that's the way your enemies will be thrown out. They shall be sling out, as she puts it here. He'll sling them out. What a picture that you have here. Now she continues, and it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. What she's saying is, don't hold this against us. You're going to be king. And notice what David does now. I can see him sitting astride that horse. He's looking down at this woman that's right actually down in the dust. She's a beautiful woman, and she's a noble woman, a wonderful character. And David looks down at her, and this is what he says. Verse 32, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal, not a man. He said, I'd have killed them all. And David received of her hand that which she brought, and he said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I've hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in the house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore, she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. You see, this man, he had a big night. He was a swinger, but he sobered up the next morning, and it's the morning after the night before, and he's really got a headache and a heartache too. That heart becomes a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. He had a heart attack, friends. You see, it's well that God intervened, because David would have been red with murder, and God didn't want it that way, and Abigail didn't want it that way. Now what's he going to do? There's a beautiful widow that lives in the desert of Paran. What do you think David's going to do now? She's the only woman that ever did him well, I would say, that was a blessing to him. Now notice verse 39, and when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord. And actually, there's a little personal feeling in this. That hath pleased the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. You know, she said when she came to David, says, don't forget us, says, remember thine handmaid. And David couldn't forget her. You know why? Well, she had appealed to the best in him, and she advised him, and he knew that advice was right, and he knew that he loved her. I think it was love at first sight. And now David recognizes the hand of God. And God can use beauty, and he thanks her for advice. And now we find that when they stood there that day, there were two great souls that stood in the presence of each other. And now that this man's dead, why, what happens? Why, he goes down and he asks her to become his wife. And you know what happened? She did. And so this is the beginning now of the life of David as a rugged soldier. This marks it, by the way. And now something else takes place. God didn't approve of it. This is not the reason that he's a man after God's own heart. But we're told here that David, verse 43, also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phaltai, son of Laish, which was of Galim. And this is the beginning of a life of David. And it was a life of sin. It entered into his life, friends. He was a rugged man. And it was a life that later on of murder. And when we get to it, I think I can offer an explanation. I'm sure that's satisfactory. But it didn't keep David from being a sinner that he was. And somebody says, well, how could David say he's a man after my own heart? Well, let's understand one thing. God said to David, you can't do the thing that you really want to do, and that is build a temple. God would not permit him to do that. And that was the thing upon David's heart that he wanted to do above all else, but God wouldn't permit him to do that. And then when David sinned, God did put the lash on his back and never took it off his back. We'll see that when we come to it. But now we come to the 26th chapter, and when we do, we see David again spares Saul in the wilderness of Ziph. And we'll notice here the contrast between Saul and David. Saul knows now that David is God's choice, but in spite of all that, he seeks to slay him. And David recognized that Saul is still the anointed king, and he spares him. And God must deal with Saul, and he's going to, and he will. We're going to see that. Now, we'll notice this as we move on. I begin reading now in chapter 26. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul rose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Now here goes Saul on another campaign, another crusade to try to destroy David. Now we find that what happens is this. David was in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. Now, David knew that wilderness, and Saul did not. David knew his way around, and it's well to note that from here on, David is a great military man. He knew the terrain of that land that made him an expert general. And he also had loyal men with him that were willing to die for him and with him. And that made a great deal of difference. Saul did not know the terrain. And added to that, his followers were not as loyal as they could be. And he certainly suspected them. Now we are told that, verse 4, David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. David couldn't believe that Saul would make such a military blunder as that. So he sent spies out, and they came back, these scouts, and reported that Saul actually was in the wilderness there. Now we're told, and David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Now, David is in a position to observe all of this. He was able to hide in that wilderness. Now, David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and he beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I'll go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and beheld Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. You see at the head of the bed, why, he just stuck his spear in the ground. And what happened? Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. The thing that Abishai says, if you just let me at him, I'll just take one blow, that's all I'll need, and I'll rid you of your enemy. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? You see now, he refuses here to do this thing. And David again has the opportunity to slay Saul and will not avail himself of it. David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, and the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. He says God will have to take care of him. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And David is acting upon that principle. Verse 11, The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away. And no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Well, it wasn't difficult, I would say, because I do not think the protectors of Saul were too loyal to him. I think they were glad to get a little nap here. Verse 13, then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the hill afar off, a great space being between them. Now, David withdrew, but not to his men. He went around way over on the other side, and he got a safe distance where he could have gotten away. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? Now, very frankly, David, I think, is being very sarcastic here with Abner, who was the captain for Saul and should have been protecting him. And David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. The thing's not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, you're worthy to die because you have not kept your master the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice and said, is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, it's my voice, my lord, O king. And what actually happened here, as you can see, is that David is ridiculing Abner, the captain. And he says, why, the king could have been destroyed. He could have been slain. And they begin to look around at each other, and the king wakes up, and he was wondering what's happened. He says, look there and see where the spear is and the cruse of water. It's gone. And I think David held it up. And David said, look, I've got it. I could have slain him, but I did not. That's the important thing again. He did not slay the king. And what a wonderful attitude this was, you see. God is going to handle it as far as David is concerned. It's easy to criticize David, is it not, friends? But how many of us today are letting God handle our enemies? We are trying to take the thing in our own hands, and we're trying to answer them and trying to deal with them. God says, let me handle it, and you walk by faith. Trust me. God says you can trust me. And you're going to find out David could trust the Lord, because the Lord will take care of Saul in time. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Now we find here that David is becoming very much discouraged in this constantly running away. And then we're going to see next time, and I hope you'll call up a friend, we're going to see Saul's visit to the witch of Endor. And there's always been a big question about that. You and I are living in a day when Satan worship is rising again, spiritualism. These folk today that constantly looking at the zodiac, and literally millions of dollars being spent on that today. I say to you, it's satanic. We'll see that next time. Call up a friend, tell them to listen. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Dr. McGee's right, you know. We need to trust God and to walk by faith. To learn more, you can visit ttb.org and click on the banner that says, How Can I Know God? Or you can call us, 1-800-65-BIBLE's the number. You can reach us by mail as well by writing to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C 6B1. And for those of you who already have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, but you want to know more about the Bible, go to ttb.org because there's a ton of great resources for free download. So check out Dr. McGee's booklet, for instance, What It Takes to Be Forgiven. Such an important question. Based on the story of David and Bathsheba, this great study looks at what happens when we sin, and we all sin, and what it takes to restore us to God. Again, you can download it anytime at ttb.org. Next time, we're back in 1 Samuel. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus and join us. I'll save you a seat.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our journey on the Bible bus today is supported by the prayers and gifts of fellow passengers as we travel through the Bible.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. You are listening to WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. Minister Gloria Ross here, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard. That's in Melbourne, Florida. And our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service times starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Once again, we thank you out there in Radio Land for tuning in to the broadcast. You could be blessed immensely today because the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and he's coming back soon. Praise the Lord. We must be ready. We must be ready to receive our King. Praise the Lord. I want all out there in Radio Land today to keep in mind that the word of God is clear. God loves you and he wants to save you. His whole intended purpose is to come back for all those that are looking for him. Well, we want to look at the word of God today in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Praise the Lord. And we thank God for that opportunity that we can have such a platform to minister to the saved and the unsaved. There are much lukewarm Christians today. They're just going about doing their own daily routine and forgetting about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, he's coming back. Listen to me very carefully. He's coming back. And he's coming back for those that are holy and righteous, those that call upon his name, those that are looking for him. Are you looking for him today? Are your garments white, spotless? Are you ready to meet your God? There are many people out there in Radio Land today. They are just going through the motion. But I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back. He's coming back to take his church. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, the word of God tells us that if our gospel be hid, is hidden to them that are lost. You don't have to be lost out there in Radio Land or whomever and wherever this gospel is going. You don't have to be lost. The preparation has been made. The table has been laid out with all of the amenities for everyone that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can sit at the table of the Father and divine and enjoy all of the trappings that he has laid out for us. But I want to tell you, the only way that you can sit there at that table is that you must know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean know him from a personal standpoint, having a relationship with him. So this gospel, as Apostle Paul was outlining, if this gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We cannot afford to not present the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many souls that are going to hell, on their way to hell, because they have not received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul was writing there in Romans 1 and verse 16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." We cannot afford to hide this gospel. This gospel must be preached throughout the entire world for souls to be saved. God is concerned about souls. That's why he sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This gospel cannot be hid. It must be revealed. It must be preached. Glory to God. Excuse me. Glory to God. That the Lord Jesus Christ will be the object of our faith. It will be everything and all things to those that have a hurting heart, broken and contrite spirit, need to be delivered from the cares of this world. I tell you, the cares of this world has taken a lot of people, but the Lord Jesus Christ has given his ministers. You notice I said his ministers. There are different kind of ministers out there, but his ministers, because his ministers are preaching the unadulterated word of God. His ministers are preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His ministers are concerned about the souls of mankind because Jesus has called them to preach the gospel. Minister Gloria, the word of God tells us if this gospel be hid, it's hidden to them that are lost. And we must be mindful of what's going on in this world today. We cannot hide this gospel. It must be revealed. It must be preached so that souls can be won for the kingdom of God. Now, the next verse tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, and I'm going to ask my lovely wife to read that verse of scripture because it is so compelling. It's so overwhelming until we all need to take notice. It begs for a description. And I want to tell you that most things that are going on today, folks are blind to the gospel because the gospel is not being preached. Man's preferences are being preached, and man's preferences cannot win souls for the kingdom of God. It's only man's preferences, but the gospel must be preached.
Praise God. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not.
Let's unpack that for a moment. The God of this world, we know that that's a little g, and is referring to Satan, the God of this world that have blinded the mind of the children of disobedience. It's amazing when we look at that verse of scripture and we see that he has not covered their eyes to keep them from seeing. What he has done, it took taken control of their mind. The mind, when he come and infiltrate the mind of those that don't believe, he keep them in a position where they continue to look after the things of this world instead of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land, no matter where you are and what you're doing, all of the toys of this world means nothing. They were here when you came into this world, and they will be here when you exit. But I pray to God that when you exit this world, that you don't go alone. I said you don't go alone. I pray the gospel be preached. Souls will be won. People will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and not get caught up in the systems of this world. And that is what's going on. It says that the God of this world has blinded. In other words, he has captivated the mind of the people, have them running after the things of this world. But I want to tell you today that don't let him blind. Don't let him blind you. He's not covering your eyes. He's captivating your mind. Many people today say, well, we know that the mind controls the body. Well, I want to tell you the mind is the battlefield there. And what's going on in your mind, whomever you yield your mind, your body, whatever it is, you're yielding to unrighteousness, then you become a victim of the satanic influence or influences that's going on. So these systems today have been set up, and folks are running after the toys of this world. I say toys because there are a lot of things they're running after: houses and cars and heavy bank accounts and all of these things. Well, I want to tell you, God loves you, and he will provide those things for you, providing that you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and not the systems of this world. Minister Gloria, would you look at 1 John 2 and verse 15 before we go into other verses of scripture, because this gospel must be preached. It cannot be hid. Glory to God. And since Satan is the god of this world, of this world's systems, he has blind people where the only thing they're looking at is the systems of this world, instead of realizing that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world to save souls, to be the bridge or the catalyst to get you back home. I wonder how many people out there in Radio Land today are concerned about going back home. I'm not speaking of your natural home with the address that you have there to get you back to your street or where you live. I'm talking about glory. I'm talking about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting back home, being with the Father in whom you were with in the beginning. You were in the loins, my God, hallelujah, of an eternal God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, you want to get back home. So Satan is the god of this world. And what he's done is that he's blind, folks. He's captivated their minds. Have them thinking about the things of this world, running after everything that does not exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you today that Minister Gloria is going to read 1 John 2 and verse 15, and listen to what he said, and don't let him blind you, because the mind is the battlefield where all of the battles are being fought between good and evil. Amen. Minister Gloria.
It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
My God, my God. Are we listening to what's going on? The Word of God has told us all. Listen, you have folks that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They love the world. And John wrote this verse of scripture to Christians. Paul never ministered the gospel to Christians, saints, sinners, but to Christians. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the same thing that is being said there brought problems to us all in the beginning. The same thing, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. The same thing, that Satan's tricks has not been changed. He just enlarged them so that folks can think, well, I'm getting the betterment of everything that's going on. In the garden, my God, I said in the garden, what took place there? The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The instructions were given to our mother and father in the beginning, said, you can have everything in this garden, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Here it is. The woman began to lust after the things there in the garden. The word tells us that she was beguiled, but the man made a decision to follow what she said. So she took the fruit and ate it and then gave it to her husband. Well, let me tell you something. There was purity, holiness, and righteousness in that garden until the serpent beguiled the woman. Listen, let me tell you something today. The same thing that's going on in this world today. Folks, are running after the lust of their flesh. But let's look at this thing a little further here and come out of the garden and come back into the covenant that we have with God. It's Satan, which he is, the God of this world. And what is it talking about? The God of the world systems. We know that he's not God because the word of God tells us. In Psalms verse 24, the word of God tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and the world and they that dwell therein. So the God of this world, which is Satan controlling the systems of this world, has blinded the minds of the children of disobedience. My God, he's blinded them. That's why we must focus on the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can walk according to his divine will and do what he said and not get caught up or entangled with the things of this world through the energy of our flesh. Now, Minister Glory, would you read a little further there? He says that he's the God of this world, and what he has done to those that are running after the things of this world, he's blinded them. But listen, the only way that they can be unattached from the things that the enemy has blinded them with is that the gospel must be preached.
Amen.
Glory to God. I said the gospel must be preached. I'm not talking about anything but the gospel. That's why I want to tell you that the devil has been defeated. Jesus is risen and he's coming back soon.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Minister Glory.
He said, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them.
God has to do this work. It says, lest the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Should shine unto them. Mm-hmm. You see how powerful the gospel is. It must shine to break the powers of darkness in the lives of folks that are running after the materialistic things of this world, forgetting all about who created this world, the things that he has done, and preparation that has been made so that you can get back home. Let me tell you something today. God so loved the world. Good God Almighty. I said, God so loved the world. I'm talking about Elohim, El Elyon, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah. I'm telling you that all, he loved us all. Glory to God. He made the preparation for you and I to be able to come back home, to follow the eternal word of God, to hear what the gospel is saying to us all. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this earth realm to bring forth deliverance. In Galatians 1 and verse 4, the word of God tells us that Jesus Christ came into this world to deliver them from this evil world. He did it according to the will of God. My Lord, my Lord. How many out there in Radio Land want to get back home? Or they just want to stay here in this earth realm here? God has made preparation. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My God, my God. Let the things of God be first place in your life. Glory to God. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to shine unto the hearts of those that's been blind by the God of this world. You know, Minister Glory, the only way that the folks that's been blind by Satan because of their disobedience is that the gospel, it says, lest the glorious gospel light of Jesus Christ should shine unto their hearts.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
The gospel has to be preached.
Yes. And what is the gospel, Pastor?
Well, praise God, the gospel. Paul tells us what the gospel is. It's not some imagination or some preference of man. The gospel is very distinct. We find what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, Jesus loves you. The devil is defeated. And Jesus is coming back soon. Keep in mind, forget about the toys of this world. Don't run after the things of this world. If you're going to run after somebody, run after Jesus. Pursue Jesus. Let him, glory to God, be the apple of your eye. Keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Glory going to tell us what the gospel is. You see, the gospel is very powerful. That's how folks are saved. They're not saved through anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is good news.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise
I said it is good news. I thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Save my soul. Pulled me out of darkness and brought me into his marvelous light. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was not the preference of man. It was not my mother nor my father. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Minister Gloria, tell us today, let everybody out there in Radio Land know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. The gospel that's going to change the lives of folks that are disobedient. The gospel is going to change folks that are caught up in the clutches of the enemy. The enemy has blinded you, but Jesus is going to set you free.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. The word says that who the Son of Man sets free, they are free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Glory to God. Mr. Gloria, tell us about this gospel.
It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Which also you have received, and wherein you stand.
Hallelujah.
By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain.
My God, unless you have believed in vain. We must understand that Paul's talking to saved folks. But listen, I have a bilateral approach here this morning on this broadcast. Not only to the folks that are saved, but I want folks that are not saved to believe, glory to God. Let the glorious gospel light shine under your heart. Change your mind. Give you an opportunity to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise his holy name.
For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures.
My God, Minister Glory, Paul is telling us that he said that how Christ died according to what?
The scriptures.
According to the word of God, the scriptures. Hallelujah. This is what we focus on. Our mind's not on the toys of this world, not running after the things of this world, because the word has already been spoken. That all that is in the world, we are in this world, but we are not of it. Paul says, all that is in this world. John says, all that is in this world is the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and is not of the Father, but it's of the world. My God, help us today. Holy Ghost, help us. Let that light shine. My God, in the hearts of those in whom we come in contact with, that they will hear the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he say? That if we keep this in mind,
yes,
that we'll be saved, in memory,
yes,
that we'll be saved?
Yes.
So what is it that we're going to keep in mind?
That Christ,
it's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
My
That's
God.
The gospel.
This is what we have to keep in mind. We have to keep in mind every day what Jesus Christ has done for us. not thinking about the things of the world. My God, everything that's in this world is the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. It's not of God, it's of the world. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world's going to pass away. But I want to tell you today, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall abide forever. Listen out there in Radio Land. I thank God for the opportunity that I can tell you that the souls that listen to what the word of God is saying, praise God, turn your heart toward home. Open up your eyes. And the only way that that can take place is that the glorious gospel light will shine under your hearts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mr. Gloria, we have 2 minutes, but I just want to say this. You know that Jesus Christ, look at what he's done for us. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it tells us that the Father has made him to be a sin offering for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My God, oh, let your mind and your eyes stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I'm speaking to sinners and saints, because the Holy Ghost convicts sinners and he convicts saints. Oh, glory to God. Convict saints because if they've done something wrong, they have to repent. He convicts sinners because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I extend this invitation. If your mind is cluttered with the toys and the things of this world, open up your mind and receive Jesus.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Keep in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. The devil is defeated, and Jesus is coming back soon. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.